of endless glory.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Two people went up to the temple area to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. O God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes on my whole income. But the tax collector stood off at a distance. He would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, the latter went home justified, but not the former. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself shall be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to the Lord Jesus Christ.
I would have loved to have been consulted by Pope Francis when the determination was happening about the motto for this Year of Mercy. The one that we have, I think, is very beautiful. Merciful like the Father, because that's what Jesus commanded us to do, to be merciful like the Father. But one of the candidates on my turn of that ranked list of three names or three phrases I would have given the Holy Father is today, it is mercy I desire. God really desires mercy, desires in two ways. He first desires to give us his mercy. And then second, he wants and he desires so much that having received that gift, we might thereby become merciful like him in our relations with others. But he desires mercy. His great hunger is mercy. Should never be afraid to approach him in his mercy, because we know, as Pope Francis has reminded us, that God's greatest joy is mercying us in that neologism he invented to try to explain what no language can truly put into words. In this responsorial psalm, which we ponder every Friday morning, we'll hear many times throughout this year, we'll ponder yet again on Good Friday, we talk about that exodus into the mercy of God to align our desires with God's desires, and how King David, after his great sin, was able to articulate this prayer which the Holy Spirit inspired so that it might become our prayer. Have mercy on me, God, in your hesed, in your inconquerable everlasting love. In the greatness of your hesed, wipe out my offense, totally make it disappear, thoroughly, not just a little bit, thoroughly wash me from my guilt and of my sin cleanse me. But it gets more. For you're not pleased with sacrifices. God tells us, it's mercy I desire, not sacrifice. But we shouldn't ponder so much that word sacrifice to think that the Lord doesn't want any sacrifice whatsoever. He doesn't want the Old Testament sacrifice of a thing without mercy. There's a different type of a sacrifice. the sacrifice of ourselves in mercy, the sacrifice of ourselves in humility, asking for God's mercy, the sacrifice of ourselves in humble forgiveness, sharing God's mercy with someone who has wronged us. My sacrifice, O God, is a contrite spirit, because a contrite and humbled heart you won't reject. The sacrifice that the Lord really wants of us throughout this year and throughout this life is a humble and contrite spirit, a soul that recognizes our need for the Lord's mercy, and a heart that recognizes others need to receive that divine mercy through us as God's holy conduit. It's mercy God desires. And in response to that mercy, we offer him, with his help, a humble and contrite spirit. In the Gospel, Jesus illustrates this point with one of his most beautiful and significant parables. Two people go up to the temple to pray, just like we've come to this chapel today to pray. First was a Pharisee, and not just any old Pharisee, but somebody who on the outside was living way beyond the call of duty. The typical Jew would fast once a year on the Day of Atonement. He was fasting twice a week. The typical Jew had to tithe only certain parts, certain products, certain things. He was paying a tithe on his whole income. He was someone in many ways who we could define as truly excellent, excelling what the normal standards were in at least outward piety. But there was something greatly awry in his life. Despite those sacrifices, he wasn't giving the sacrifice of a humble and contrite spirit. And he was egocentric even in his prayer. Jesus tells us in this small little detail that I tried to highlight in the recitation of the Gospel. He spoke this prayer not to God, but to himself. And the vocative, O God, was the idol that he had made in terms of what would really please God. O God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity. And just think about that for a second. I thank you, Lord, for making me better than everybody else. I'm not like all these other spiritual losers who are greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this scumbag, a Pharisee over here. Publican over here. Unbelievable. Unbelievable that he would even dare come up to the temple. Despite his fasts, despite his tithes, despite the regularity with which he would go up to the temple to pray, he was proud, arrogant, judgmental, and just an interior cesspool. And he didn't even see it, because he didn't want to offer God a humble and contrite spirit. He wanted to do God the honor of having a visit from his spiritual majesty, the Pharisee. Tax collector went up to pray in a totally different way. We've talked before about tax collectors. They became absurdly wealthy by ripping off their own people in complicity with the occupying force. So because of that complicity, they were detested. Because of the way they would shake down their own people, they were detested even more. They were the ancient mafia dons of the Roman Empire. He stood off at a distance. I mean, most people wouldn't even think this guy would go up to the temple to pray. And if he were just going up to the temple to pray, most people would think he's just kind of going through the motions, the way many mafia dons get their children and grandchildren baptized. But at the same time, as was depicted in the movie The Godfather, ordering a hit during the very baptism of some enemies in crime. No, he went up and he stood in the back because he didn't really even think he had a place there. Just beat his breast and prayed, "O God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Throwing himself before the Lord, who desires mercy, reminding God and himself that he is a sinner in need of that mercy, and then just praying in the language of the body. And Jesus says, it was only he who had his prayer heard. It was only he who left the temple justified. In other words, in right relationship with God. He was the only one who left the temple no longer a sinner, because he had been forgiven. Those sins had been taken away, whereas the sins of the Pharisee clearly remain. And Jesus drew a lesson he draws with various parables, that in order to receive his mercy, we have to be humble enough. We'll be exalted in his mercy when we approach the Lord with a humble and contrite heart. But if we approach the Lord with an exalted heart, we will be humbled. And we want that humiliation to occur in this life, not forever and ever and ever. Which is why we've got so much to learn with regard to praying with that humble and contrite heart. This year of mercy is a great gift, so that our heart might become more humble and more contrite. This isn't a eureka statement for any of us. These are insights that the Lord has given us before. The question for us is whether we genuinely persevere in them, whether it remains an intellectual thing that we know, or whether it becomes an existential thing that we live and are. And for this reason, Hosea's words today are so important. Yesterday, we had the first day of the second half of Lent, and it intensified the theme of the first day of the first half of Lent, in which the prophet Joel told us to rend our hearts and to return to the Lord with our whole heart. And Jesus yesterday said that we're to rend not just our heart, but our mind, our soul, and our strength as well, and return fully to the Lord with all that we are. But when we do that, the prophet Hosea says, when we return to the Lord, he who is rent, he will heal us. He will bind our wounds. He'll forgive our sins. And in a prophecy to the Paschal mystery, he says he will revive us after 2 days. On the third day, he will raise us up to live in his presence. It's precisely what happens on the resurrection, when we enter into Christ by his mercy. When we die in Christ, we will rise with him, so that, as St. Paul will tell us at the Easter Vigil, we will experience a newness of life. But, Prophet Hosea says, that God's concern is that we don't persevere. He says, your piety is like a morning cloud, like the dew that early passes away. Soon as the sun comes on up, the morning cloud dissipates, the morning dew likewise evaporates. That it starts off really quite good, but there's no real substance. It's not something that endures. So we need to ask, do our prayers for mercy, does that desire we have to approach the Lord with a humble and contrite heart, does that persevere over the course of the day, or does it get replaced by thoughts of self-exaltation, in which for the most part we rejoice that we're not like the other sisters with all their issues, that we're not like all those others sometimes that we can serve in our pastoral work, whose lives are just a litany of bad choices. And we can begin to get on a moral high horse rather than a low, contrite heart, so that the mercy that God desires can flow through us for them? Do we persevere? Is it something like the rain that will come down in torrential downpours to bathe the world around us in an ocean of God's mercy? Or is the mercy just something that we remember for a few minutes and then evaporates like this morning cloud or morning dew? The great way, obviously, for us to persevere is to live the Mass that we receive. It's here that we come with a humble and contrite spirit, seeking to leave this chapel justified. It's here that throughout the Mass, and perhaps at some point I'll be able to share with you a conference I've been giving to priests when I preach these Year of Mercy retreats, but the entire Mass is redolent with prayers for mercy, especially at the beginning. Do we really mean what we say? That we have greatly sinned with our thoughts. Greatly sinned. Not just sinned like everybody else. Greatly sinned. Greatly sinned with our words. Some of the times we have really cut people down to their face or behind their back. Greatly sinned with our actions. Again, not peccadillos, tiny little pecados. Sins, but greatly sinned in our actions, and most greatly of all, sinned in our omissions. So much good that the Lord was wanting us to do that we haven't done, and most especially, the hundreds of thousands of opportunities He has given us for mercy that we just haven't responded to because it was too much about us and not about becoming like God in mercy, because we weren't praying and living the right way. We've greatly sinned in these ways by our own grievous fault. It wasn't because the devil made us do it. It wasn't because sister provoked me. We have greatly sinned by our own grievous fault. But the Lord who desires mercy wants to do what He promises, to heal us, to bind our wounds, to revive us on that third day so that we might live in His presence, to wipe out our offense, to wash us thoroughly from our guilt and cleanse us and give us a new, clean heart. That's the way we're able, in presenting ourselves before the Lord with humility and contrition, to receive the great gift of His mercy He so desires to give us, and to transform us so that the mercy He desires for others can be received through our words, our thoughts, and our actions. A few days ago with the prophet Daniel, I focused on the prayer that the priest says at Mass, in spiritu humilitatis et in animo contrito, suscipi amorite Domine, et sic fiat sacrificium nostrum in conspectu tuo hodie, ut placiat tibi, Domine Deus. In a humble, in a spirit of humility, in a contrite spirit, may we be received by You, O Lord. And may this sacrifice which we offer in Your sight today be pleasing to You, O Lord our God. This sacrifice, not just of the bread and wine, not just of our body and blood and our entire life, but especially this sacrifice of a humble and contrite spirit, may this be pleasing to Him today, offered up together with His Son, and in response, open us to receive mercy incarnate, so that that mercy may take on our own flesh. It is mercy I desire. May we share that holy desire all our days.